If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Ephesians 4 and says your attitude must be that of being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And yet again, the question comes to the pragmatist who says, I have no model for this. I was wounded as a child, bruised as an adolescent, destroyed as a teenager, and rejected as a young adult. So I enter into my full adulthood messed up. I speak in tongues and lift my hands and praise the Lord, but walk out of those doors messed up. I try to pray and talk to God, but there seems to be a wall that blocks my prayer. It bounces around the room. I can't get through. I call the saints and ask them to pray. I look for a prophetic word. I yearn for the Spirit of God. I can't hear His voice or feel His Spirit. I can't sense His presence anymore. What is going on? What demon is blocking me? And Paul speaks in a resounding voice, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There, my brothers and sisters, lies the standard for our Christian experience. I am to forgive you as Christ has forgiven me. What does that look like? How am I to perform such a great act of charity and love? How can I forgive in that fashion? Do I come to church and have hands laid upon me? Do I just dismiss what you do to me? Do I not hold you accountable for your actions? Do I remove myself from righteous judgment of your behavior? Do I simply allow things to continue on while I'm being kind? These are the questions that occupy our mind as we try to go from forgiveness to releasing to standing before God without this thing having any influence in our assimilation into the spirit realm. For the work of the Holy Spirit is not to have you dance or speak in tongues or even sing and offer your gifts. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make you like Jesus, who never allowed himself to be controlled by outside people, who never allowed himself to respond the way his detractors and those who hated him responded to him, who never hated anybody because they hated him. You and I are now tasked with this behavior of the Spirit, if you will, this fruit of the Spirit's indwelling. We push you to tongues. We want you to speak in heavenly languages as a sign that He's there. But yet I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and still hate. And I'm still bitter. Paul says, I'm just making a lot of noise. Paul's trying to save us here. He's trying to save us psychologically as well as physiologically. Paul is trying to tell us that the bitterness here, bitterness refers to a settled hostility that poisons your entire inner man. In fact, bitterness will cause your blood pressure to go up. It will promote stress that brings other conditions. Stress releases cortisol in the body. Cortisol creates belly fat. Stress will cause you to have tightness around your neck muscles and bring the tightness to a place where you'll develop migraine headaches. Stress will narrow the blood veins and arteries in your body, which makes the heart pump harder in order to get the same blood through a smaller opening. You begin to get headaches, shortness of breath, narrowing of the vision, sweating profusely as you think that there's nothing wrong with you, but you are dying from an internal poison called bitterness. Let them go. This is why when Paul uses the verb forgiving in the Greek, karizoami is a verb in the middle voice. It is a verb that means favor, or where we get the word charismatic. And what he's saying is when you exercise forgiveness, the fact that it's in the middle voice means that you're doing it for yourself. That means that every time I forgive somebody, I get healthier. Every time I forgive somebody, my blood pressure comes down. Every time I forgive somebody, my blood sugar reduces. Every time I forgive somebody, that's one less Tylenol I have to take to go to sleep. Because I'm doing it for myself. From Paul's concept here in Ephesians, we must now bring to the context Mark 11:25. And Jesus says, when you are standing praying, he uses the singular verb of forgive. He does not use it in the middle voice like Paul. He uses it in first person active. That's why there's no ing. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. He says, and if you have anything against anybody, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. Notice something that Jesus does here. He takes a noun, trespasses, and he uses it in the plural. That your Father may forgive your trespasses. So we have a plural noun. A noun is a person, a place, or a thing. So we have the thing of trespasses. And he says that God will forgive you your plural or your many transgressions. But that is predicated upon you forgiving that person their any singular thing. Jesus is boldly declaring that if you can forgive that person for their one thing, God will then forgive you for your many things. See, you're walking around holding on to stuff, which means God, for the first time in your existence with him, he is stacking that stuff up and he's holding all of that against you. But if you turn and just release me from that one thing, he'll wash away all of your stuff. That's how powerful forgiveness is. But notice here, because it's first person singular, the verb here, aphaimi, that he uses in forgive means to put it off. Now, even though it's first person active, there are not many things that are active dealing in the soteriological aspects of the word of God, which means anything having to do with your salvation is usually in the passive or in most cases in the middle voice. But there are times when it's first person active voice, and this is one of those times. He is telling you to put it off. That means you cannot go to God and ask him to remove your bitterness. You cannot go to God and ask God to help you forgive. He doesn't have to help you forgive. Forgiveness is intrinsic to the Holy Spirit. You must practice forgiveness. Hence, we have Paul saying, forgiving. We go from victory to victory, the Bible says. Why does the Bible give us a stair-step mentality of victory to victory and faith to faith? Because what he's saying is what it took to get you to that level. Before you get to the next level, there's more hell to catch. And in between level 9 and level 10, there are demons that are prepared to keep you from level 10. But since the demons are spiritual, and since they know that you cannot grasp that reality in the spirit, he then inhabits natural folk who come to your praise team and act like they are lamb, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so what Jesus is saying, in your ascension to level 10, you've got to deal with the devil of level 10. For when a Christian rises to a higher level, it is only after they have been able to crucify their flesh on level 9, and they're able to take the mess between the graduation. That at the end of this struggle, Lord have mercy. Listen to me. Those of you that were and are students in any shape, form, or fashion, why is it that you mess around, that you play around during normal classes, but when you get to finals week, you seek to cloister yourself? You don't want to see nobody. You tell people, I can't come to rehearsal, Brother Rob. I'm having finals next week. Well, why is it that you're doing that? Because you know that those finals will determine if you get promoted. So what you're doing is shutting yourself off from everything and everybody that may preclude you from passing that course. Well, that's how God is. When God is about to promote you, he starts pulling you back from people and
and stuff and mess that may get in the way of the flow of the anointing. But you just keep pressing. You just keep doing foolish stuff. So God allows devils to come and harass you, knowing that when the devil gets a hold of you, you don't have anywhere to go but him. Him.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
But
in our arrival to the land of forgiveness and our reaching the kingdom of mercy and grace, doesn't mean that we don't have accountability. It does not mean that I don't hold you accountable. Or else why would the Lord go through great, great trouble to teach us how to hold our brothers and sisters into accountability? I stand before you today a bit concerned that we think forgiveness is the absence of accountability. We think that that means we let a person do whatever they want to do, and we say God judges you, and you may even be bold enough to say God will judge me. You are not my judge, but I submit to you I am your judge. I know I just made some folk mad. I can look in your face. Who you think you are to judge me? If that were not true, then the following passages that go along with forgiveness, because we must understand that forgiveness doesn't mean without accountability. You see, you got to realize there are people that have hurt you, and you struggle with the fact that how do I forgive them if they don't have any contact in my life? But you must ask yourself, when you recall the things that they did, how do you feel? Now, there are some who anesthetize themselves. They simply say, I don't feel anything. Nothing bothers me anymore. That is not necessarily indicative of forgiveness as much as it is acceptance. And so what we do is we say, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. My brother and sister, I cannot do anything about the person that hurt me. Mrs. Durr hit me in the hand when I was 8 years old, but it was when I was 38 that I had to forgive her. 30 years I carried bitterness for being unjustly disciplined. I know I didn't scratch Marianne Etheridge intentionally. Why is it, Pastor, that you can remember that with such detail? Because I had not forgiven her. I can still see Mr. Sykes, my sixth grade teacher, coming over to pull me out of class to wrongfully condemn me, stand me before Pilate, who washed his hands, and turned me over to the high priest who crucified me. But isn't it amazing that it was not on a sermon about the lake of fire or hell where God began to confront me, but it was as I taught on the forgiving power of the blood of Jesus and his cross. God kept that woman alive till I could go down to 27th and Lehigh and tell her that I forgive her. If she had died, I would have been in trouble.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 05115P. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60. Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m.
Are you a preacher or someone who desires to preach the Word of God? Join us for the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches Preaching Workshop 2015. This workshop is designed to equip preachers to deliver the Word of God with substance, effectiveness, and relatability. This two-day workshop will be held Friday, July 17th, and Saturday, July 18th. Registration has begun, so be sure to sign up soon. Call 215-885-2585 to register. That's 215-885-2585. We hope to see you there.
To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.